Grace, mercy, and peace be poured out upon you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of our Lord that we meditate upon this morning are taken from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 66, beginning with verse 10. Rejoice with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream, that you shall feed. Then you shall feed on her sides shall you be carried and be dangled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. So far our text. Please be seated. In the name of our loving elder brother and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, a mother's loving care for her children from early on is greatly welcomed by her offspring. In infancy, the hearts of children are made glad by experiencing the feelings of peacefulness, contentment, and security as their mother bears them up in her arms and cares for all their needs. At her bosom, they are nursed until satisfied. They're held close to her heart affectionately, caressed and kissed and spoken to soothingly. To the casual observer, it seems like these little people don't have a care in the world. While babies have their own set of problems to contend with, such as wet or dirty diapers, a hungry tummy, a stomach ache, loud and frightening noises that terrify them, still their mother is there to lovingly attend to all their needs and wants. Of all the human relationships, a mother's relationship with her children is right up there toward the top. This is very important in the family. The prophet Isaiah draws from this cherished picture of the human family as he speaks of yet another kind of relationship that is on an even higher plane, a spiritual one. In the verses preceding today's scripture text, Isaiah prophesies the spiritual birth of offspring, which is known as the Church of Believers. And it's referred to in Scripture as Zion or Jerusalem. That's an important thing when you're reading the Old Testament. It's not talking about a city or a hill, mountain. Very often it's talking about people. Zion and Jerusalem is the Church of Believers, where the gospel of Christ is proclaimed and the sacraments are administered. In verse 8, Isaiah writes, for as soon as Zion, the church, travailed, she gave birth to her children. Being born again of water and the Spirit in baptism, we were added to the family of God, the Holy Christian Church. And even as a human mother lovingly watches over, nourishes, comforts, protects, and guides her little ones, so also in a spiritual way, the church does the same for our souls through our use of the gospel and word and sacrament. It is to the spiritual offspring of the church, namely to all those who love the Christian church and everything she stands for, that the prophet Isaiah addresses the words recorded in our text. Inspired message reveals that as believers in Christ, We have every reason to rejoice with joy and gladness. For our spiritual mother, the church, gives us spiritual food and drink for our souls that satisfies, consoles, and delights our hearts. While the overriding message to believers in Christ Jesus in this portion of Isaiah is spiritually upbeat and uplifting, yet in the midst of the message, we find the prophet speaking of the church's offspring mourning for her. Isaiah foretells in this chapter that when the New Testament church of believers would be ushered into this world, not everything would be so joyful or happy. For as the New Testament church was being born, there would be those of the old way, the old covenant way, who would be suffering a fearful demise because not all of them would believe in the promised Savior, Jesus Christ. Believers would mourn because families would be divided up between those who believe in Jesus and those who do not. This mourning would intensify still more with unbelieving family members persecuting their fellow family members because they embrace the Christian faith. Sometimes the persecution even went to the point of Christians being put to death. And the children this last week in Vacation Bible School heard about this. We did talk about mission work, but we also pointed out to them, mission work is not always so easy. The Word of God is not always so well received. And Jesus pointed out, because they hated me, they're going to hate you. So this is not going to be an easy thing to do mission work. The Apostle Paul can be heard mourning over his kindred people who rejected Christ as he writes of them in Romans. I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. In the period of the Reformation, in the 1500s, the Christian church experienced mixed emotions of joy and sadness for the church. Believers in Christ rejoiced over the rediscovered gospel of Christ, which had long been shrouded in the church by the false teaching of work righteousness. That is, simply this, the church was saying, well, yes, Jesus died for your sins, but not all of them. You're going to have to take care of some of those extra sins that Jesus didn't take care of through your works and deeds. God's children were glad to feed upon the unadulterated gospel which revealed we're forgiven of all our sins and saved through the redemptive work of Christ, and not by anything at all, by reason of what we say or do. Grace alone, that is undeserved love that we receive from God. Our salvation doesn't have anything that we have done to earn or deserve it. It's totally Jesus' doing, not ours. Can't do anything to gain his favor. However, this joy was dampened by the sad news that the external church of that day, which had been shown as a mother, called the mother church, was unwilling to shake off from itself the shackles of its religion of works and embrace the freedom of the gospel that Jesus blesses us with. Down to this day, all those who hold fast to, cherish, and contend for the precious saving truths of God mourn over the external church suffering great spiritual violence at the hands of those who promote faulty beliefs in the name of Christ. We're concerned about the souls of others whose souls are jeopardized by faulty, false teachings. Examples of tainted spiritual food in the external church are numerous and varied, ranging from denying that all the Bible is God's inspired, inerrant word, They say, well, some of it in the Bible is God's word, and some of it is man's word, and you're going to have to go through the Bible and decide which is God's word and which is man's word. And of course, you know what they end up doing? When they find a teaching they don't like, oh, that's man's word. I don't have to follow that. To the rejection of the six-day creation in Genesis, to looking to the social trends to determine what is right and wrong, what is moral and what is not, which is always changing, to the refusal of accepting Jesus' sacraments as a means by which we're brought to faith and kept in the faith. And gives us forgiveness and salvation. And even to the extent of not acknowledging Jesus as Lord and the only Savior of the world. Now that is, if you have not been exposed to it, just kind of shake your heads. How in the world could that be? How in the world can a church call themselves Christian if they don't acknowledge Jesus as Lord or Savior? That just kind of hard to imagine that's really being taught and spread, but it is. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go around and go to the different churches and find out for yourself. Just take my word, it is happening. I read about it. I hear about it. Like as in the days of the apostles and the Reformation, as we stand up against in the spread and the consumption of contaminated spiritual food in the church, we suffer a mere mournful experience of suffering, severing fellowship with family and friends who do not share the same religious convictions. And this is never easy, never easy at all. However, all those who hold fast to the truths of Christ are not left comfortless. The Lord declares to his children in today's text, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When a little child suffers injury by some kind of something like painful, whatever, a mother's quick to pick up her child in her arms, put her arms around them, and comfort and reassure them and help them. And so also our gracious God, working through the gospel and word and sacrament in his church, supplies us with loving care and assures us of his abiding presence in our life to comfort, sustain, and strengthen us in mind and spirit. Concerning this mother-like care, Isaiah says to us that you may feed, literally nurse, and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. With the bosom of our spiritual mother, the church, being full of a pure, unadulterated word of God, we can drink in deeply of it and rejoice in it by faith, and our spirits are satisfied, comforted, and delighted. To know that all the Bible is the inerrant, infallible word of God is to have the confidence of possessing the absolute truth of God, heavenly wisdom that guides us in life and gives us eternal life. To know that God created the world by his almighty power and that he preserves everything by that power gives us a sense of safety and security. To acknowledge and follow the unchangeable will of God revealed in the Ten Commandments is to possess God's standard of morality that serves unto everlasting blessing. But the greatest blessing of all that we find in his church is the sweet gospel of Christ that assures us, I'm forgiven of all my sins. I have the gift of eternal life when I depart this world. There is no greater source of comfort than that gospel message of Christ. The one great divine truth which the prophet Isaiah emphasizes when he speaks of our benefiting and drinking from the bosom of the church is that of had that delightful abundance of the glory of the church. That glory of the church which the prophet refers to does not consist of an ornate building, splendid music, instruments, finely crafted furnishings, or the various church customs that adorn the life of the church. No, the true glory of the church consists in the glorious teachings of the cross of Christ and all that that entails. That's where the glory of the church really is. The Apostle Paul testifies of this very comforting and soul-delighting glory of the church, declaring that Jesus was delivered up on the cross because of our offenses and was raised again because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. To know by faith that Jesus took our place in suffering the full punishment for all our transgressions and rose from the dead as our victorious Savior is to possess peace. Peace of conscience and peace with God. Concerning the blessed peace that comes from the message of the cross of Christ, the Lord declares in Isaiah, "Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river." The peace of God imparts to our hearts by blessing us with faith. Faith in the gift of forgiveness and eternal salvation through Jesus. It's like an ever-flowing river that flows incessantly to give us that abundant comfort and joy. I may have mentioned this before, and you know, I tell you how an old person is, says something once and they forgets he's mentioned it before. But there was one congregation in Upper Peninsula where a member said to me, "You know that former pastor that we had, he was always talking about Jesus. Why does he talk about Jesus all the time?" Well, I hope he thought I talked about Jesus a lot too, because that is the central truth of the Christian church. Jesus, him crucified, who blesses us with spiritual, eternal gifts. During the course of a toddler's young life, there are numerous times that he gets injured or hurt, whether it be a skinned knee, a bee sting, a burn, or whatever. Whenever any of this happens, the little ones come running to their mother, and she picks the child up, holds the child, comforts, reassures, and mends the wound. What a wonderful gift to have such a loving mother that cares for her little ones. Very reassuring, very consoling. How many of the times that we've done harm to our souls through sinfulness and have gone to the gracious word and sacrament of the church and received the soothing, healing balm of the gospel that declares to us that in Jesus all our sins have been taken away? Do we ever come to a point where we don't need to hear that? Well, are you a sinner? Do you sin every day? We need to be reminded again and again and again of God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And that provides healing for our soul. What a wonderful gift the gospel is. And we need to hear that again and again. Concerning the blessed peace we find in Jesus, the hymn writer heralds this song of praise. "Thy works, Not mine, O Christ, speak gladness to this heart. They tell me all is done. They bid my fear depart. To whom save thee, who canst alone for sin atone, Lord, shall I flee? Thy wounds, not mine, O Christ, can heal my bruised soul. Thy stripes, not mine, contain the balm that makes me whole. To whom save thee, who canst alone for sin atone, Lord, shall I flee? Thy cross, not mine, O Christ, has borne the awful load of sins that none could bear but the incarnate God. To whom save thee, who canst alone for sin atone, Lord, shall I flee? Thy death, not mine, O Christ, has paid the ransom due. 10,000 deaths like mine would have been all too few. To whom save thee, who canst alone for sin atone, Lord, shall I flee? Thy righteousness, O Christ, alone can cover me. No righteousness avails save that which is of thee. To whom save thee, who canst alone for sin atone, Lord, shall I flee? Thank God for your mothers. In the early years of your life, they attended to all your needs. You know, it seems that a mother is selfless, thinks of her child before herself. Thank God for having such caring mothers. But greater still by far is the cause of thankfulness to God the Father for His church, our mother, which through its use of the gospel and word and sacrament, we've been made children of God and heirs of heaven. May the word of Christ proclaimed in our mother church ever serve to feed and nourish our souls so that we continue to experience peace, comfort, joy, and hope through our Savior Jesus. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.